Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. You don't have to be old enough to remember mid-20th century TV shows like the cartoon comedy The Jetsons to know that humans have long contemplated and been fascinated with the prospect of robots taking over a variety of human tasks. Today, however, robots in the workplace and at home are no longer just the stuff of cartoons or science fiction. They are, in fact, a reality right here in North Carolina. Recently, WRAL-TV producer Clay Johnson joined me in studio to discuss this fast-developing field and a new documentary that airs September 6th entitled Connecting the Bots. Well, Clay Johnson, welcome to News and Views. It's great to have you back.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Rob.
So your latest documentary is called Connecting the Bots. Tell us why WRAL has taken this topic on.
There are really a couple of reasons. During his campaign, Donald Trump talked a lot about the bad trade deals that cost manufacturing jobs. And certainly that is true. A lot of manufacturing jobs have been lost due to things like NAFTA. But there have been job losses or a lack of job creation due to automation as well. And recently, over the last year, both MIT and NC State have done studies about what they call the potential disruption in the workplace due to automation. And so those two things kind of got us thinking about, well, you know, how much automation is there out in the workplace, especially in manufacturing, where that's been kind of the center of the debate. And in manufacturing, it's much more visible. You can kind of see the automation. Right. People can understand that concept better. So we decided to look primarily at manufacturing and look at not only what automation is doing in terms of eliminating jobs or preventing future job creation in certain areas, but also how it's being developed and how our education system is sort of responding to that trend.
So when I was a kid, there was this cartoon fantasy, you know, that robots will all have this life of leisure. And of course, we didn't think at that time, oh, wait a minute, there's a lot of jobs that humans do that now technology is taking the place of. Your documentary will feature some really interesting examples and interviews, and we've got a clip to listen to. One involves an industry very near and dear to North Carolinians, which is textile manufacturing, a fellow named Mark Bess. Can you set this up? Tell us a little bit
about
it.
I mean, Mark's a really interesting story. He worked in the textile industry for 35 years, worked multiple places, got laid off multiple times. The last time he got laid off, he was asked to go. This company was moving their operations from Burlington to Mexico, and he was asked to go and help set operations up there. He did that, and as soon as he got the plant up and operating, he was let go. Some years passed, he got back in the textile industry, but in a very different way. He's actually, with the help of a business incubator out in Catawba County, he was able to, and working with an entrepreneur, the owner of the company, take over operating a textile company that is basically all robots. They manufacture compression socks for medical applications, and it's only two employees full-time. That's Mark and one other person. And basically, the socks are made without ever being touched by a human hand. So it's pretty fascinating.
Well, let's listen to that.
You have the touch screens here. Everything here is like an iPad. It would take double the people with the older machines to do what this one machine here does. This machine here will make about three socks to one sock of the old machine. And so it takes out a whole department so we can cut labor out to make it competitive with China and Mexico.
What Mark says is this is how we, his industry in North Carolina, is going to compete in the global economy against countries like Mexico, Honduras, China, who have cheap labor. He says our answer to that is less labor through automation, and that's what's going to make us globally competitive.
So the premise of that first example is one that most of us, even though it's really high technology, we're kind of familiar with, the notion that factories and assembly lines are becoming more and more automated, and that's obviously been a phenomenon for a century probably or more. But the next example is even a little more futuristic, and it involves sort of an actual robot that's working in a greenhouse, Metrolina greenhouse.
And just to tell you how we kind of found Metrolina greenhouses, I was just doing a little search online, and I came across a video of their operation on YouTube. And as soon as I saw it, I said, we've got to go there. That's just amazing. And Art's father actually founded the company and had a slogan of, you know, automate or stagnate. They actually started automating things back in the 70s. And now, thanks to, you know, computer technology, it's gotten a lot more sophisticated. You know, in a nursery, you have to keep spacing plants apart as they grow. And so now they have little robots doing that.
Let's listen to that segment.
They could see the plant. They have cameras on it, and it has pinchers that actually grab the pot. Then it goes back to this strip. That's how it knows where it's going, and then it's going to set it down. The thing on top is this GPS, so it knows exactly where it's been and all that. An average robot could space about 230, 240 pots per hour. To space this many pots by hand, it would take 9 people to do this. Right now, we have 3 people to do it with. And they've been a big labor savings for us because people generally don't like spacing.
So when one listens and watches this clip, it really does start to rock one's world. And you begin to see how far all this might go, really, in rearranging our lives and sort of the fundamentals of our economy and our modern society. There's really some smart people thinking about this and how it might be changed and how maybe we could be more intentional about approaching it. One person you interviewed was someone who's been with us here on News and Views before, one of those very smart people, a fellow named Leslie Boney, who leads the Institute for Emerging Issues. He's got something he calls the Future of Work Disruption Index.
What that is predictions as to how many job losses are coming in the next couple of decades across North Carolina due to automation. And it goes county by county, and it looks at different types of work and basically predicts how many jobs are going to go away.
Let's listen to the interview with Leslie Boney.
We believe that there are 39 professions where there's a 70% chance that jobs are going to disappear over the next 20 years. And educational programs need to spring up in order to respond to this. And I think we've been slow in education to get those programs ready. We need to be training people for jobs that don't exist yet, where they'll be using technologies that haven't been invented yet in order to solve problems that we don't know are problems yet.
We've had other experts here on News and Views talk to us before. It's just the whole issue of driving. I mean, you know, a lot of people in North Carolina are employed in driving vehicles. And I don't know if you touched on that, but that raises another incredibly important issue where we could see automation taking the place of human workers.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at some of these studies from NC State or MIT, that is one of the areas they say is very vulnerable, truck drivers,
right?
Because, you know, they're already developing self-driving vehicles that could potentially take those jobs away. Pretty much anything, if you look at it, anything that is repetitive, tedious, manual is vulnerable. You know, anything that doesn't require thought, imagination, intuition, things like that. One of the fascinating things to me about the NC State study was tourism jobs. So you look at the counties that were very vulnerable, a lot of them are tourism-oriented counties like Carteret and Craven and Dare, places like that, and even Buncombe, because there are already automated systems replacing things that people and the workers in the hospitality industry do, things like house cleaning. I don't know if you've been to a Sheetz, you know, that you can kind of just punch in your order and there it comes. That was one thing that I found really fascinating. The counter to a lot of this that you'll hear from people like Jerry Pedley, who runs Mertech Solutions down in Sanford, North Carolina Small Business of the Year last year, they basically make machines that make other products. So they create automation in their own way. He believes that automation is creating jobs because you have to have people to build the robots and you have to have people to program them. And one of the other more interesting things we found in this documentary is the role of both the universities and the community college system. You know, we went to Central Carolina Community College. You walk in, they have what looks like a kind of traditional machine shop. And, you know, I think a lot of people think, well, that's kind of a dying technology. That's, you know, that's sort of a dying field. Actually, they're teaching students to build robots because robots are essentially machines. So you still have, somebody has to make the machine. And so that's what they're training their students to do. Then you go to the NC State Robotics Lab and you see those students learning how to create the software and write the programs and program the robots. So those worlds are kind of coming together as we move forward in automation. And that was one of the things we found really interesting.
And we're glad to hear it ends, at least perhaps on a somewhat optimistic note. We'll see if they develop robots to host radio shows.
Yeah, well,
documentaries.
You know, we have one of the things that we have a companion podcast to this documentary, which looks at something called natural language generation. This is a program that was developed by Automated Insights in Durham. AP, Associated Press, has employed it, and basically what it does, it takes data like earnings reports and writes the story.
Yikes.
So that's a little scary. But what they will argue is that frees up their reporters to do more in-depth investigative pieces and things like that, that an automated program that just takes data and turns it into language could not do.
Well, tell us how and when people should look for the show.
Well, the documentary will premiere Thursday, September 6th at 7 p.m., and that'll be on WRAL TV, WILM TV. It'll also be on streaming platforms like Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Android TV, and Roku. Also on WRALDocumentary.com. So there's multiple platforms that you can see the documentary, and there'll also be bonus content like some videos. We'll show the BookBot at NC State's Hunt Library. I don't know if you've ever seen that, mm-hmm. but it's a robotic librarian essentially. And there'll be other bonus content like a Q&A with a computer science expert on artificial intelligence and how far can it really go. And I think that's the big question behind all of this.
Well, the documentary is Connecting the Bots, so be sure to look for it on TV and online. Producer Clay Johnson, thanks so much for joining us. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.